Okay, so we're talking about Saturday's watch of the movie. So I watched it. It was nowhere near as fun as watching it either with the sound off or the sound on. So that was a bit of a letdown. So every time I was watching it, while I was watching it, I was having pining flashbacks for the movie that I wanted to be watching, which included a lot more Space Jam and a lot more Taylor Swift and a lot more, you know, everything better. So it made me sad because I was missing my soundtrack, but I did force myself to contemplate some questions. So this time around, I tried to figure out why. Okay, so at the end, like near the end of the movie, like I'd say like, you know, 8/10 through the movie, the Gargoyle Queen, like, asks Gideon to kill the creature. Now, this always seems way too late in the movie for her to do this. So this is way after the battle where a bunch of people are killed, like way after that. It's like near the end, like it doesn't even, nothing really incites it. Like he has the book now. So I guess they want the book back. So he has the book and he's like trying to get the scientist lady to make it happen with the book. Like make, I don't know, whatever. Figure out how to do the reanimation. I don't know. He gives her the book for like a hot second and then he takes it back. And he goes back to the, like, he goes back to the gargoyles and he's like, I don't know, I want to, like, help you guys now, because I got a human friend, and then she's like, okay, cool, buddy, and then, she lets him leave, and then she's like, destroy him and get the book back. But, like, at that point, why? Like, that always kind of throws me off, because at that point, he's actually starting to be helpful. Maybe she doesn't trust him, and she thinks, like, he's playing her. I don't know. I mean, there's a thousand... they probably could have asked nicely for the book back. He probably would have given it back. I don't know. It's just, like, every time. So she says... She tells Gideon to get the book back so they can have it, which seems overly dangerous. Why don't they just destroy the book? And then kill him. I guess because... Oh, that's true. Okay, so that's also when he says there's an army of corpses in the basement and he's gonna reanimate them. So I guess, okay, fine. I mean, I guess she's like, oh crap, this is really happening. So like destroy everything. But it just seems so over the top. And after all the movie where she's like, you're the best, buddy. I love you, man. She's like, kill him. It's cool. Which seems very unheavenly like. And so I don't like that. I never like it. It doesn't fit with her character. It fits with that other, like, their Gideon character wants to kill him the whole movie. He doesn't like him at any point in the movie. And it would make sense with his character if he's like, I'm gonna kill him. I'm just gonna do it. Screw you, queen. Like, it make more sense if he just did it on his own, but the fact she tells him to do it, it always seems very, I don't know, this doesn't make any sense with her character, and I think it would have worked better if she had still trusted him to do the right thing and whatever, and Gideon was like, nope, lady, which is what he says. He says, no, you're trusting him too much, and it should have just stopped there, and she not order him, and the scene progress as is, which is he does try to kill him anyway, and he ends up dying. Which is, I mean, not the best scene in the world, but it fits better. So, I don't like that scene. I never do. It never really fits, no matter how many times I watch it. It makes, I guess now that I plot it out, it's a good leadership decision, but it doesn't fit with her character, who has been nothing but, like, trusting of him. So, I don't know. That always frustrates me. Okay, so, but otherwise, there's other things I'm trying to note. I'm trying to pinpoint when they're presuming he gets a soul. I have an idea, so I'm gonna watch it again and see if there's, like a clue. Probably not. I don't know. We'll see. But I have a guess, but I'm gonna watch it again to see if I can guess. Okay, so, my high I guess I'm still digging. I wish it got more play, but I like the Keziah, what's his face? Ophir, they're the gargoyles that are like lovers or whatever. I don't know. Say it's not acceptable on Earth, but it's cool in heaven for them to be together. So I don't know if that means like dating or like what. I don't know if they're, I don't know. Don't make any sense. Like, I don't know if they're, like, assigned a human body, or if they chose it, or what. I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're allowed to do anything more than be soldiers, so maybe just having a, I don't know. It don't matter. Anyway, I like them. I think they're cute. I wish they had done more. Like, they're, like, the best characters in the whole movie, because they're only ones that are, have any, like, emotions at all, which is nice. I like them, and I like the Gideon character. Like, I like him in relationship to them because he's kind of an ass and they're so nice. And I wish they had done more. Like, I wish the whole movie was just those, like, just the gargoyles chilling. I don't know. They're just nice. I like them. And I think they're the most interesting. The demons are so boring. So anyway, I like them. I still like them every time. I feel like I'm getting more. They're, like, probably the best written characters in the movie. And I'm not saying a lot because they're not that well written, but I feel like they actors did the most they could with the little bit these characters had of personality. So I like them a lot. I'm liking her more every time. I think she's got the most funness. I don't know. I like Ophir the most. He's my favorite character. He's so nice. And then I like her second most. My low is that, let's see. I don't like, okay, so I always get scared. It's not scary, but I don't like it every single time. It always kind of freaks me out. They reanimate all the corpses, like, simultaneously. Still dumb. But, one of them gets to 100%, and for, like, I don't know, half a second, he's like, I'm a demon, but, like, so he turns into a scary demon face, and I don't like it. And it's not like the regular Buffy demon faces where it's like a mask. It's like a, I don't know, like a ghosty face, like a scary zombie face. It threw the thing. I mean, it's probably, if I paused it, it looks really cheap. It's probably like a drawing on a piece of paper put up again. I'm sure it doesn't look like it's that expensive, but it looks slightly scary. As opposed to the regular demon faces, which are not scary at all. So I never like that one. It always kind of freaks me out. I don't like looking at it because it's, like, a little bit scary, which is what all the demons should look like. But I don't like that one demon that scared me. That's my low. So that's it for today. Tomorrow I'm going to try to figure out the soul thing. That's my next thing. There's a couple other things floating in there. But that one's going to be try to pinpoint the moment he gets a soul, and see if he had a soul the whole time, because that's my other theory, is that he always had a soul. And second thing is I need to figure out what this demon plan is, because the demon plan, now that I'm thinking about it, is dumb. So I'm going to try to figure out more clearly what that is. Okay, so writing, I wrote, I think, like, 1,800 words last night. So I had him make his scene in the production company area. He throws a little bit of a hissy fit about getting fired, and then he gets pulled out, and then his agent yells at him again. And I'm starting to transition out of... So I need to take a break from this character, because I feel like he's getting boring, and I need to advance the plot. And I want to... So I'm going to try to do it from Abby's perspective now, because I feel like I've gotten enough of her being nice. So I think once I do her more, I'm gonna have to go back and add more of her in the beginning, her being first really, really nice and starting a little bit frustrated. But so he finds out she has the website, the blog thing, and doesn't realize how much she's been putting on it, and gets really mad at her. And then that's gonna cause some kind of issues with them. But so I fast-forwarded a couple days after he finds out about the blog, and then started from her perspective. And then kind of since I'm almost at like 30,000, I felt like we could reveal some stuff like halfway through the book. So I'm going to reveal that she is kind of her plan the whole time that she had. Like, her plan was to use this to catapult her, and she doesn't like him anymore, and this was just kind of her way to get a lot of exposure. And, you know, she had kind of a big master plan, so that was kind of the idea. And then they're going to do the 2020 interview. And so I'm going to include, I guess, some of them still having issues together, but her trying to make him feel better. And, so I need to, see, a lot of this is just, I'm trying to get a handle on these characters, and I think just the first one just going to get kind of the plot out. I want to get more voice in there. I feel like it's a lot of whining, so I think she's going to be more interesting to write, I hope. I can't guarantee that. So we'll see how it goes. This is a little rough going. So once we get more into the, I don't know, I keep saying that once we get more into the plot, but I think it'll work out. So I think once we get into the interview, like, I think just expanding the world out a bit more will be good, and then I'll make her, she'll be able to do more stuff because she's a bit more mobile, and she's slightly crazy, and do stuff with the Scott character. And then we'll start going back and forth with the, so once I get, like, you know, she gets some airtime here, and then we'll start going back and forth more, with him. So that's where we're at. So that's where we're at right now. I will talk to you all tomorrow. Okay, bye-bye.